Hey friends, it's Maya. Yeah, we're back. Okay, we're back for just this one episode, to break hiatus for a little bit and kind of ease that wait until season two. So today's episode is actually in response to another podcast episode that was released a few weeks ago on Asian Not Asian podcast. The episode in question was number 74, and it included a very problematic discussion between the two hosts and their guest that really perpetuated and uplifted some negative stereotypes and stigmas concerning queer women and the queer and trans community as a whole. We get into, exactly what they talked about in that episode and what was featured on the clip that they posted to Instagram, but then later deleted, as well as the ensuing response or lack thereof response to both us at the Cajun Project for, not calling them out, but trying to hold them accountable and trying to get an apology or a response regarding this episode and regarding the things that they said. So aware that they were making these comments as a part of a joke. And yeah, a lot of times we want to feel like jokes are harmless, but I think a lot of us know that that's not always the case. And the thing about jokes and the thing about humor is that they have this potential to normalize really shitty and harmful ideas. And in the case of Asian Not Asian podcasts, episode 74, the jokes were about women dating other women as a response to being fed up with straight men, kind of positioning this idea or upholding this idea that queerness, especially amongst women, is not so much of, a valid identity in and of itself, but rather a response to a frustration with, the success or lack of success in dating cisgender heterosexual men. This is problematic on so many fronts, and it has also hurt a lot of people within our community, including us at the Cajun Project. And, something that I believe in so deeply is that if something hurts one person, that's more than enough. That's more than the people that it's needed, or it more than the people that it should hurt. People who should be hurt. I'm losing my words here. But it's more than enough to warrant an apology, especially, when we're talking about negative attitudes and homophobia within the greater Asian community, which is something that we are all trying to lessen, and trying to create a space that empowers the queer and trans Asian community in a way that, starts, lessening that fear or that hesitation to interact with cisgender or heterosexual Asian spaces. We do talk about this more at length within the episode. However, I did want to make a note that the Gaysian Project has reached out to Asian Not Asian podcast regarding the comments that they made and to offer a space to have a conversation on how to strengthen their allyship. And we also offered some restorative steps that they could take in order to offer, an apology to those within the queer and trans Asian community that they hurt. We have not heard anything in response to our latest email to them, which is one of the reasons why we are putting out this episode. There hasn't really been that much of a conversation, and more than anything, the silence is really frustrating for folks who mention that they do want to learn and they do want to be better. And I fully hope that. Like, I fully want this to be a moment for all of us to grow and to really talk about those more nefarious ideas and attitudes that we may use as a basis of jokes, but end up hurting many people in the process. Anyways, We get into all of this in today's podcast, and my guest is actually somebody who is the biggest friend of the Gaijin Project and podcast, and somebody that we've been wanting to get on the podcast for a very long time. So this is actually going to be just one episode of many that she will be on. But my guest today is Jerry Lim. She's this brilliant person who's based out of New York, runs a photography project called the Chasing Color Project that's all about showcasing the stories and experiences of people of color in New York City. She's also a stand-up comic herself, just graduated from Columbia with a master's in public health, has a new job, which congratulations is always a cool thing. And you know, is another queer Asian woman who, has been really helpful and really invested in, you know, speaking about why the jokes and why the comments made on Asian podcast were hurtful, and why it's so important for us to have this conversation and to focus on accountability and not call out culture, and trying to use this as a growing moment for our entire community, and kind of try to figure out and talk through how we can become better allies to each other and support each other. So this intro is already very, very long. And before it gets any longer, why don't we just jump on into this episode? Without further ado, this is the Gaijin Podcast with guest Jerry Lim.
Maya. Hi.
Wow, you took like the Terry Gross tone, and I was like, hi, what's going on? I'm Alaska Thunderfuck. Well, I'm so happy that you're finally on the podcast. This is going to be the first of many, because unfortunately today we don't get to talk about the cool stuff that you do for the API and POC communities. But that just means that people are going to get a taste of you and will be wanting more. So
they'll have for like,
I know, so kinky. Really starting off strong with this episode. Okay, so before we get into everything we're going to talk about today, can you introduce yourself to the folks listening?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Hello, listeners and earthlings. My name's Jerry Lim. That's spelled with a G and an I-E. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I identify as queer.
Well, welcome. So the reason why we're talking today is in response to a episode and a clip of a podcast episode that was posted on Instagram by a podcast called Asian Not Asian Podcast. Then this happened like a couple weeks ago. And so the episode number for this, I believe, was episode 74. They have since taken down the offending post, yet the podcast episode is still up. And for reference, the post that they made on this episode, or about this episode on Instagram, featured a clip of the episode where the two hosts and their guest were talking about how essentially straight women are, or queer women or women are dating other women, being in queer relationships just because they are fed up with men. Like, it's contingent, like queerness essentially is contingent on
the success of romantic relationships with cisgender men.
Right. I mean, they specifically said something like, I have the direct quote, like, it's, I know straight women who are trying to date girls on purpose. They're not gay, but trying because there's got to be something out else that they can, that I can fuck. And the context of it was that straight men suck.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's saying that straight men suck is a fair thing to say. I think that's something that all of us talk about. But in this context, like what they're doing with this, the statement, whether or not that the statement is, you know, in, like kind of given to us in the form of a joke, it's creating this invalidation of queerness and also invalidating, you know, any independence or autonomy of like female choices, right? Like to say that a woman can only, you know, make their decisions based off of, like I said, whether or not they're having romantic success with men.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is so wrong on so many senses, because women are not defined by, you know, romantic relationships and their success with men. And queerness is not, you know, an antidote or the opposite to straightness, like heterosexuality. One doesn't just, I have a friend who, it was you who said this, right? Was it you?
That was a quote.
I don't know. Someone, it might have been you, said that, like, you can tell that, you know, sexuality isn't a choice because there are straight women who still date straight men.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that was me.
That was probably you. But I mean, like, it's not a choice, right? Like, we are attracted to who we are attracted to. We are who we are. And to make a statement like that, that's like, oh, it's dependent on your, you know, on the level of frustration or success that you have in romantically dating cisgender men, is to completely invalidate and minimize the existence and experiences of the queer community.
Sure. I definitely agree with that. For me, like, it felt like it was similar to narratives where, like, you know, like they tell queer women that, like when straight men hit on queer women, right, and specifically like lesbians, and they say like, oh, I can turn you straight, you know, like to me, like it feels like more or less in that same coin, but also like the opposite side. And then also like the line after that, somewhere near that conversation, like, the guest, I think, said like that they couldn't date women romantically because of the physical thing. I'm just like too straight was the quote. I don't even know where to start with that, honestly.
It felt to me like they were, through this conversation, whether intentional or not, and I don't think that they were intentionally trying to create a binary, but it when I was listening to it and interacting with it, it felt like these statements and this conversation was creating this weird binary where it's like you're either straight or you're gay. Like, there's no in between. And that, for me, was really frustrating because, like, I identify as queer because, for me, I feel like that allows for the fluidity of my sex, you know, it allows for a lot of fluidity because, you know, I'm not always, I'm like not solely attracted to one gender. And I also, it allows for like gender presentation fluidity. And I think that's something that's really, really wonderful to embrace and celebrate the fluidity of someone's sexual identity and gender identity. So when I was reading this and where this binary was created, where you're either straight or you're gay, that felt really, it felt like it was erasing a lot of folks, including my experiences of being queer and of kind of living along that fluid spectrum, which I also think is, you know, not just for the folks who identify like that, like myself. I think that it largely is harmful because, again, like, I think it creates these expectations of how women are supposed to act. Because, like, in this context, they're speaking specifically about
women,
cisgender women.
Yeah.
And it's creating this very specific thing. It's like, you are either straight or you are not straight. And these are the only two ways that you can act. And we know that that is incorrect. Like, women look like so many different things, and like, we can act like so many different things. Some of us can vote for Trump and the rest of us can be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Sure. Yeah, I guess some of us can vote for that. I would say like, yeah, like you can't, I mean like, yeah, it is straight and not straight. But like for me, like it's just like how flat not straight was presented for me, right? Like the idea of like queerness is so, you know, multifaceted and like that kind of thing. Like I personally, you know, like I feel like my queer journey, like, you know, started out as, I first started identifying as bisexual in like the beginning, end of high school, beginning of college. And then I was like, no, I think I'm a lesbian. But then like, I didn't like that like lesbian was a noun and gay was an adjective. Cause I was like, well, I'm more than just a lesbian. And like, I don't know, it was just some me being a grammar idiot. And so I identified as gay. And then like, now like I identify as queer just because like you said, like women and people just like come in so many forms that it seems, I don't know, like I just feel like queerness is a better adjective to describe like the fluidity of everything, all encompassing. But also I've heard somewhere that like queer is also like a good fuck you, because like it doesn't really like, it doesn't, it's like more, it's more vague than like gay, if that makes sense.
It's a definition without being a definition.
Mm-hmm.
No, I totally agree there. It's buried deep within my notes and I'll find it by the end of this episode, but there's a really wonderful quote that I had found I think last year during Pride season, mm-hmm. that like described queerness in this like beautiful way. But so back to this episode.
Right.
So the reason why we're talking about it today is because it's a conversation that needs to be had. Like, there is, as many of us know, a lot of, you know, flat out homophobia within the greater Asian community, along with, you know, a lot of negative, you know, on the lesser end of homophobia, like negative mm-hmm. stigmas that create a very exclusive culture for queer and trans, you know, Asian folks. And I know, speaking for myself, in my experience, it makes me so hesitant to interact with cisgender heterosexual Asian communities versus
yes.
Queer and trans Asian communities. And
yes.
I think that, you know, the reason why you and I wanted to have this conversation on the podcast was because what was said on Asian Not Asian podcast really contributes to that overall, it feeds into that overall negative atmosphere and attitude towards the queer and trans Asian community. And when it's being expressed by younger Asian Americans, it makes it even more hard to, you know, reason around, versus when we're talking about our parents, where we can say, oh, they are from, you know, like they're immigrants or they're from a different time, like we're gonna help them grow. This is coming from folks who are very much, you know, in the same realm of culture, in our community. Like, they're young, they're interacting with like the same social conversations that we at the Gaysian Project are interacting with. And so, you know, like, we had texted a bunch about this and how it's so important, and how both of us really felt that we wanted to use this as a growing moment for our entire community to talk about why these jokes that could on their face seem harmless and like, you know, men suck, actually, you know, can cause a lot of hurt for people and contribute to this exclusive and toxic culture for queer and Asian or queer and trans Asian folks. Like, for example, one of my friends who, and also a friend of the pod, can I say that now? Friend of the pod, Randy Kim, who is this wonderful queer person who's based in Chicago and runs these, you know, storytelling events that center POC folks and queer folks to kind of give them agency over their own stories. He was the first person who told me about this post from Asian Not Asian podcast, and he was and still is extremely hurt by it and will text me every day. And we had like a lot of calls about kind of working through it with him because he was really triggered by it in the same way that I would, you know, both of us were just mentioning that the larger Asian community can be kind of hostile to queer and trans folks. And he has been so upset and so hurt by it because it felt to him that there was this display of hyper-masculine energy that was using queerness as an excuse to kind of like excuse away the dating struggles that they may be having, and that it's not them, it's because someone is queer. And and that's not okay. Like, queerness and our identity should never be used as an excuse for something, because it just minimizes that. And that's just like one of many people who were, you know, like hurt by this podcast. And for me, I really wanted to find a way, because Asian Not Asian podcast has like a huge platform, and we're all kind of like working in the same space to uplift the Asian American community. And so this is such a great opportunity for them and for us to have this conversation about how do we work around these jokes? How do we make jokes about like the shittiness of some cisgender heterosexual men without, you know, taking the piss out on queer and trans folks?
Yeah. Ooh, lots of juicy topics to talk about. Yeah. So there's a lot of like facets that like I feel very directly involved in. You know, like I do stand up. I actually know Mike and Fumi. I shot them for Chasing Color. Like, you know, I'm East Asian, like all these things. Like we live in the same city. So where do I start? So let's start with like the men are shitty, right? So the joke isn't really, I mean, the joke is yes, men are shitty, but the thing in question is like, this whole idea of like straight women and like, you know, as we previously discussed. And my run-in with like cishet East Asian men, I like to call it the Andrew Yang demographic, really, because like you're thinking of like, you know, able-bodied, wealthy, light-skinned East Asians, cishet, straight, you know what I mean? Like male, specifically male, like, you see them on like that subreddit Asian identity, like the Asian is spelled A-Z-N. My problem is with like they're very much like part of the Asian American community, and like it's hard because I know like one issue that's like really deep and important to like cishet East Asian men is this idea of like masculinity, right? Like media portrayal in America of East Asian men is like they're a little feminine, but like it's, you know, they're the notion that like femininity is like inherently this bad thing, or like they choose to like solve this media depiction with more masculinity, you know what I mean? Like it's, I think it like it feels very much like the root of their problem. Like the root of this problem for me is feels like toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Like just the need to like resort to like something that feels very aggressive and violent. And not to associate those things with masculinity specifically, but like the things that make it toxic. Like for example, like in an Asian American group, like the Asian Creative Network, I remember like posting about how representation, like the representation we've been getting is great, like Crazy Rich Asians and like, you know, all these things feels really good, but I was like, for like queer Asians or like South Asians or like, you know, like or like people who aren't able-bodied or all these things, like this doesn't feel necessarily like true representation, like, you know, like I said, it's like that Andrew Yang demographic, and like all these like East Asian men like came for me in the comments, and it was like really interesting to see the response, because like they were saying things like, oh, like you're, you know, like if why don't you make your own movies then, you know what I mean? Or like it was very much like the things that like white people would say to Asians in general. So it's that feeling, like coming back to this like podcast and seeing like things that were said like this, to see that said by like fellow comedians, fellow Asians, it's like really harmful, right? Because like we're trying to fight like bigger systems, and to see that like even within our own communities, like people are being hurtful, people are like not understanding things, it's like it's really depressing. You get bummed out.
You had also said that, I think, you know, when we were talking about this, that it's especially harmful when comics are making jokes that participate in this harmful ideology, because jokes by their very nature normalize things through humor. Yes. And so it's really harmful to like normalize, you know, this idea that queerness is the antidote to shitty men. And yeah, because like you had also said, like another joke that's placed upon Asian men, which goes back into what you were talking about, toxic masculinity, is this feminizing of Asian men, or like the joke that Asian men have tiny penises, which is bullshit. But that joke has been told so many times that it's like this normalized thing, and you know, that is it's no less hurtful, but it has been repeated so many times and has been told in a joke as a punchline to a joke so many times that now it's like, you know, that's a thing that we all kind of accept in society.
Yeah. I was going to say the second facet is like, right, like this comedy is like a veil for assholery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like in my experiences, like, you know, doing stand up around the city, like my personal policy is like, not to speak about experiences that aren't mine, right? Like I'm never gonna make a joke about like a living life as a like black male, because like I don't know what that's like. Yeah. And it seems like not everyone has this policy, and like I think that's what struck me the most on this, between that and like the idea that like you said, like the thing with like small penises and like how that was a joke, and then like now it seems to come full circle where like Asians are making jokes about other communities, marginalized communities, and it seems to come full circle, where sometimes we forget that like even as Asians we can have privilege and you know, oppress others.
Yeah. And I mean, kind of like what I said, we should be holding each other accountable to like grow from this, right? Like to be better, because I mean, like Asian Americans, we're still a minority, right? Like we're, you know, we still face different types of oppression on a daily basis. And if we are working to empower and to kind of like lessen that oppression, then it cannot come from, you know, shooting down on like, you know, the more marginal, you know, the extra marginalized people within that community, because you don't get a leg up by stepping on other people. You only just like mess up your hype beast shoes. But so with this podcast, a lot of us had reached out to, you know, a lot of people commented on the post, to the, and you know, I don't want to say called out, but in effect, that's what it was. It was, you know, commenting on this post saying like, hey, this wasn't a good thing that you did, and here are the reasons why. From the Gaysian Project, I made a comment as soon as I found out about the post and kind of looked into it a little bit more that I will read. We posted, for a podcast and a group of people that have such a huge platform, such as yours, and aims to talk about and uplift Asian Americans, this is incredibly irresponsible and harmful, made even more so by the fact that you are positioning it as a joke. What you're stating in this conversation is incredibly invalidating and contributes to the erasure of queer women, as well as the relationships that queer women who identify across the spectrum of sexualities, bi, pan, impart on. Your narrative of women are only dating women because they're fed up with men continues to uplift the problematic assumption that queerness for women is based off of relationships with men, and that women are queer because they cannot get a man. Which, hello, our entire existence is not defined by men, whether or not we sleep with them. Further, You assert a binary, that there are either straight women or gay women, which when taken in combination with everything else you have said in this clip, creates a harmful and narrow definition of both queerness and how women should behave. Queerness and queer folks do not exist as a coping mechanism for rejection that heterosexual cisgender people encounter. Women, and especially queer women, do not exist for men, do not love and live in spite of men, and are absolutely not defined by relationships or lack of relationships with men. So we posted that.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of other people, folks posted, you know, speaking to why this was a harmful and problematic post. Mm-hmm. Asian Not Asian podcast did not directly respond, but instead deleted the Instagram post where all of those comments lived. They only responded to the Gaysian Project when we posted a note from myself on our Instagram story and tagged them, which I will also pull up here. So we made a statement on the Gaysian Project that read as such. Yesterday, Asian Not Asian podcast posted an episode and a clip of an episode on Instagram that prominently features the hosts and guests making jokes about women who date or sleep with women as being a result of a frustration with dating cis men. These attitudes are not just problematic, but harmful. They perpetuate homophobia within the API MED community, upholding a narrative that maintains that queer women and their relationships slash identities exist and are defined by romantic success with men. Queer women are valid, queer relationships, queer people, trans folks, we're all valid and powerful in our own right and exist, period. We at the Gaysian Project are disappointed and hurt by this, especially that these jokes are being made by folks within our Asian community at the expense of us, the queer and trans Asian community. Asian Not Asian podcast has a big platform, and we hope that moving forward they will take into account the weight of their words and jokes. We've extended a hand and continue to offer a space to have conversations with them to strengthen their allyship with our community. So we tagged Asian Not Asian podcast in that Instagram story, and it was only then that they reached out and you know, talked to us about it. They responded with, "Hello, this is Mike and Fumi. We've seen your comments, of course, and want to thank you for speaking up and helping us learn. We never, ever intend to harm anyone. We're two comedy bros trying to figure things out. We pulled down the vid, and in the future, we'll seek to find better, funnier ways to bridge divides. We hope to build together in the future." So,
okay.
Receiving that message only after kind of, you know, posting about it on our Instagram story and tagging them was a bit weird. Like, I read it, and the thing that jumped out to me, as Jerry knows 100%, was the phrase that we're two comedy bros trying to figure things out. And you had actually said this earlier, comedy is not a veil for assholery, though sometimes folks act as if it is. For me, this read as an excuse for their behavior, because like, jokes are not, it's not a valid excuse to use a joke to insult somebody. It's kind of the equivalent of being like, you know, like, don't take, like, no offense, but you look really ugly today. It's like, of course I'm going to take offense at that. Like, you know, just because something is intended for folks to laugh at doesn't mean it's any less harmful. Yeah. And on top of that, it's like, so many people who are involved with the Gaysian Project, you, like Jerry included, are involved with comedy and do like amazing things in the comedy world, and yet are more aware of the words that they are using. I don't know. You know, like, they are not punching down, essentially. Like, there's a way to be funny.
I try not to punch down. I try not to punch down. And, you know, like, there's that saying, like, comedy is meant to attack, like, the comfortable, I think, or something like that. The people in power, essentially. Yeah. And I think what upset me, like, about the response, right, was, like, like you said, like the whole "we're two comedy bros" was already pretty. And then like the timing of the response, it felt more reactive than proactive. And then like the line trying to figure things out, like that's the one I want to hone in on, just because like, you know, like you and I have been talking about this, and like you've been like updating me throughout this entire situation, and it just feels like for two people like trying to figure things out, it doesn't, like the response doesn't feel like that, you know what I mean? Like you told them like we helped, you know, like we crafted a response back together about like how it would be great if like they explained why they posted the video, or like why they took down the video, what they learned, you know, from like interacting with you and like Randy, and like the comments ensuing, and then like how actionable, like tangible ways that like they could be better, like, you know, like you and I did all the work, and just like seeing like the reaction and like how slow the response has been, and like it feels like dragging feet. And for two people, quote, trying to learn or trying to figure things out, that just didn't seem to match up with me.
I agree. Like like you said, we crafted a message that was really all about trying to help us all grow together, because so many of these ideas are just like ingrained within us because of society. And so there are undoubtedly more folks within our community who harbor these same, you know, attitudes. And so this is such an awesome way, because of the Gaysian Projects platform and Asian Not Asian podcast platform, to use that to have a public conversation about why these things are hurtful. That's only beneficial for all of us, because like, I mean, the last thing anybody wants to do is hurt anyone. And there are always going to be, you know, like the potential that somebody does something, you know, one of us does something that hurts another person because we are not aware of something. And in those instances, like this one, like how do we reduce that harm in the future? And how do we try to mend, you know, the pain that we have caused or someone has caused? Mm-hmm. And you know, for Jerry and I, we were like, this is such a great moment to talk about these issues that aren't always talked about in Asian communities. They're just kind of like there. And, you know, like kind of similar to how anti-Blackness is a force that is just there in an Asian community. And we don't talk about it a lot. So in this sense, it's like, how do we talk about it? And we really wanted to do that. And we're met with very, very slow response times. After we sent that message, kind of giving them actionable ways to, you know, kind of respond, which included, you know, like writing a post about explaining why they pulled down the video, what they learned, and an apology to the queer and trans Asian community, as well as actionable ways that they will try to be better. That was sent kind of like minutes after they sent their first response to the Instagram video. And there was no response to, you know, our message until it was like 4 days later. I sent a follow-up message because I had not heard anything and just saw them continuing to post videos and kept getting messages from people who were hurt by that original video, being like, what's happening, you know, like getting more and more frustrated. And to the fact that, like, you know, some of these people, Randy, who has been really kind of leading the charge on holding Asian Not Asian podcast accountable and really trying to keep this, demanding, I guess, the apology that he deserves. You know, he rightfully deserves for being hurt in this way. Asian Not Asian podcast blocked him on Instagram.
Jeez, I didn't know it was him.
And so when Randy texted me that, that's kind of when things for me became much more, I don't even know what the word is. I was just a lot more frustrated because we're trying to have a conversation with these people about, you know, the harm that they caused through these jokes. And yet they are taking antagonistic measures against people, you know, like what antagonism is in a Instagram world, right? Blocking somebody.
Right.
So I had sent them a message that said, hey, we wanted to follow up here. A lot of folks, including us, are still hurt and upset regarding that episode and the clip that you posted. And it is even more problematic that folks have reached out telling us that ANA has blocked them on Instagram. This is a moment for our API community to hold each other accountable and come together and empower each other, especially the marginalized folks in our community. We urge you to take the restorative steps we mentioned in the previous message and not allow this divide between cisgender, heterosexual API folks and LGBTQ plus API folks to grow because of your jokes and now your silence. Once again, we're more than willing to speak with you via email or phone should that help in the process. Mm-hmm. They then responded, hey, sorry for the delay. We've been thoroughly discussing this between the two of us and wanted to be thoughtful with our response. Would you like to bring this discussion over to email? You can reach us. So I then emailed them on Friday or Saturday, I believe, and have not heard a response. And the silence is really what is frustrating, because this is something that, you know, it has hurt. Like, even if a joke hurts one person, like, that's, like, enough, right? Like, and especially since they do have a big platform. They have, like, 7,000 followers on Instagram and undoubtedly a lot of listeners to their podcast, because it is pretty popular. That reach definitely means that more folks were affected by this than just, you know, the few people that have reached out to the Gaysian Project. Mm-hmm. And for there not to be an apology, something as simple as an apology, or even just, you know, a conversation to be had, that's something more than kind of like reactive to there being a public posting about it, feels really gross to me, honestly. And all I really want, and all I really want for us to have with Asian Not Asian podcast, is a conversation about why these things are not great. And, you know, I don't,
why homophobia is not great.
Like, why homophobia is not great. And I don't want this to be like, a cancel them moment or like a call out culture type thing, because that doesn't help anybody. And like I said before, like, I don't think that they were doing this intentionally. I don't think these jokes were a product of them being like, let's shit on the queer community, right? Like, I don't think that's
to-do list today.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was like they weren't intentionally trying to harm anyone. I think that that's what makes this so much more insidious, is the fact that these are just attitudes and parts of our lives that we've lived with, because again, hashtag society, that is very restorative and important for us to talk about and to bring to the surface, so that like we're able to be self-aware and aware of those attitudes and how they affect other people within our community and how to change that and how to change those attitudes.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Like, it hurts me a lot because I said, I know Mike and Fumi. Like, I've been to their Hack City shows. They have great comics. Like, it's a great show. And I actively, like, promote them on my own personal Instagram. Like, I promote going to their shows. I've had people, like, message me, like, pictures at their show saying, like, thank you for telling me about this event. Like, Ronnie Chang came, you know, like, things like that. So, like, and like, you're right. Like, I don't want this to be, like, a call out, like, you guys suck. You know what I mean? But, like, if anything, it fucking sucks. Like, it hurts to, like, you know, like, to, like, not see them even, like you said, like, even apologize. And, like, for me, like, even if, like, I looked at this, like, if I were them and I was looking at, like, at a completely, like, without emotion kind of stance, like, even if, like, having an apology post and having, like, a post explaining, like, why they took it down, why it was bad, like, that's just, like, good accountability and, like, good for a brand, right? Like, I think, like, having that kind of thing, like, I don't know, like, it makes you seem more legitimate. It makes you seem like, I don't know, like, it, for me, like, doing that kind of thing seems like makes the most sense. So, like, to hear that, like, they're still, like, being silent on this, like, issue, kind of, like, bummed me out a lot. Especially as, like, someone who, like, you know, like, I support them. I support them a lot. Yeah. So, like, it sucks. And, like, hopefully, like, they'll get back to you soon. Like, I know, like, living in New York, and like, I'm not the best at answering emails myself, but like, if I were in a situation where like I had, you know, like a situation like this, where like I had made an offending post, an offending joke, like that kind of thing, like and especially like if I'm saying things like, you know, like trying to figure things out, trying to be better, like things like that, like being responsive would be like, and you know, like accessing resources, like the Gaijin project has been like super accessible, and like, you know, like you've been doing the labor, like here's like ways you can like rectify this, you know what I mean, like you've offered yourself up, and like it's literally all they have to do is like take that one step.
Yeah,
like, yeah, so that's been a little disappointing, and I hope they get back to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think that like, yeah, like I don't want to say I'm glad that we're having this conversation because of this post, because like, you know, that means that I'm glad that people were hurt, which absolutely I'm not happy about. And I also think it's really important to have conversations like this, where it's like, you know, we have, there's that aspect of like cishet Asian culture, right, that is very self-preservationist, in toxic ways, to kind of like keep that stuff. It's like the Asian fuckboy. Not to say that like Mick and Fumi are like Asian fuckboys, but like there is that subsection of cishet Asian culture that are the fuckboys, that is, you know, like traffic in self-preservation attitudes that are based in toxic masculinity, and like all sorts of other big words to describe that.
Yeah,
that are ultimately like, you know, punching down on folks that are more marginalized with them in order to give them more, increasingly more status. And I think being really aware, I don't know if that's something that like will ever go away. I feel like that's just like a power dynamic that will exist in various forms, mm-hmm, in society. But I think that the harm that it causes can be lessened by having conversations like this. You know, being aware that, you know, these attitudes can function in these ways, and just being open to talking to somebody about it. Because like 99% of the time, people aren't intentionally going out there being like, I'm gonna like shit on this person on the street corner to make myself feel better. And like,
right?
Like it's just a part of us, you know, like it's in there, and it's harmful when we act on it, and it can be less harmful when we're aware of it and we don't act on it. And you know, I don't want anyone to, because like, I mean, for myself, like I have shitty thoughts that come up towards different groups because of like, you know, the way that the areas that I was raised in, or right, like the different environments that I've been a part of. And when those thoughts come up, when they're like gut reactions to things, like, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Right? Like, it's so shitty to feel that way, and so shitty to recognize that you're having these awful thoughts. And it's even shittier to be called out and demonized for having those thoughts if you're not like acting on. I don't know if I'm like explaining this really well, but I just want it to be a moment where we're not trying to demonize somebody for like having these,
not
like,
call out culture.
Yeah, exactly. Like for having these internalized thoughts. And I think it's more important for us to like be aware of them and talk about them so that we lessen them, if that makes sense. Yeah. I don't know if I'm talking in a circle. Of course, there are also like evil people that like are intentionally out there seeking harm and having these thoughts and like intentionally acting on them. But to bring it back to specifically the situation,
we know that's not the case.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like I said, like I know we're not trying to call them out or anything. It's more of like just a, like, you know, like the kind of way that like your parents get like when they had the whole like, we're not mad, we're just disappointed.
Oh, that's fully it. Yeah.
Like, we believe in you, and like we're you know, like we support you. So to see you hurt us like this.
Yeah, we raised you better than this.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I raised them because I think I'm younger. We're both younger, but no, it's more or less like that same feel. So I don't know. I hope next steps, like next time you and I talk, like this will be a different story or something. Like, yeah.
But we really hope that just like, if anything, like we just get to talk more about these and attitudes in a way that allows like non-specifically queer Asian spaces to be more welcoming for queer and trans Asians.
Yeah. I mean, like the ideal situation would be like for like queer Asians to be on Asian Not Asian and then like, you know, like talk about, you know what I mean? Like, cause I think that example, that situation was like straight people talking about queer people. I think, like I said before, like when you're talking about experiences that aren't necessarily yours, I feel like that often is a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, if Asian Not Asian were to like, not to like, what's the right word? Not to make queer people props or like, you know, anything for their like apology campaign or whatnot. But if like you, Asian Not Asian would be willing to host like a conversation with queer people about queer people, I think that would like really say a lot. Along with like an apology.
Yeah, an apology is always good. It's always a good first step. But yeah, no, I agree. I hope that you know, in us putting this this podcast out there and this conversation that the two of us are having, we'll be able to move forward to that next step, right? Like of having an apology, which I mean, like, I hate that, like, we have to put out this conversation.
Yeah.
Like to do this in order to get a deserved apology for the queer and trans community. But you know, at the same time, I'm glad I get to talk to you. So that's, you know, the bonus part about this. The pros and cons list is pro, talk to Jerry at length.
about gay stuff,
as always, the only things we talk about. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for talking with me and having this conversation and also being a part of, like, you know, being a part of the Gaysian Project, one, obviously, but two, being a part of like having this conversation with Asian Not Asian podcast and being somebody that, you know, also really wants to hold them accountable and not call them out, I think has been really, really awesome to have you helping with that and be able to talk to another like queer Asian woman about like what this feels like and why it's such a weird and shitty experience. But, you know, to close out, I want to close this out on a good note, a positive note. I wanted to, so you're 100%, if the listeners don't know, this is like a teaser for the next episode you're going to be on. Jerry is this really badass person who also runs a project called the Chasing Color Project, which is this photography series that's really all about celebrating the stories of people of color in New York, because you're New York based. Like very regional of you. How dare you?
Well, I took a picture of myself. So like I got a message today, like in New Orleans, and they're like, hey, I'm in New Orleans. Can you like, I'm like, I don't, are you going to pay for my ticket? Like, I don't. Right. So
if anyone this is a good time to plug Chasing Color Project, because you're open for submissions right now.
Well, I'm open for submissions all the time, but I did redo the form. So I started Chasing Color Project probably around, I think Facebook said a year ago the other day on August 2nd or so. So happy birthday, boo.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I redid the form that people submit to like tell their story and that kind of thing. Redid the questions, and my partner looked over it and she said they were good. So I got the seal of approval. I'm really excited to start this project back up again, even though I will not be able to leave and, you know, shoot willy-nilly, because I now have a job and I can't skip work like I could with grad school, unfortunately. but yeah, Chasing Color Project on Instagram is your best bet. I think I'm going to try to get Facebook back together. The website was just too much.
Yeah, I feel.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. And yeah, everyone, like, go check it out. It like, there are so many really cool stories and so many cool people that you are featuring and who are telling their stories, which is, like, super, super wonderful.
Get Maya one day.
Well, now I'm so close. I'm just, what, a 2-hour train ride away.
Yeah.
So it'll happen. Maybe if I come up this weekend, I don't know. I have to figure out if that's happening. So to close out this episode, I have to ask you the best segment, which is also, like, have been told is the worst segment because it's so hard to choose someone. Who is your Bayesian of the week? So anyone in the API MED diaspora that inspires you, maybe that you're just like crushing on Instagram.
Bayesians plural. I'm gonna say my friends and the team at Plan A magazine. They are an Asian American magazine. Special shout out to Diana at Oxford, because I think they do really good work. They write about just Asian American issues, but it's not like just about like media representation, which, like, yeah, it's a big issue, but, you know, like, Southeast Asians are getting deported, so, like, you know what I mean, like, there's other issues. Plan A is definitely my Bayesian of the week. And then, like, if you have to start somewhere, not to take people away from Maya and the Gaysian Project, but they do also have a podcast. And they do an episode with this, technically, like, this is another Bayesian, but, like, whatever. I don't know their name, but their handle on Twitter is Diaspora is Red. And they do amazing, like, I've learned so much from this person. And they do, there's the podcast episode in question, like, I think that's a good start for people who want to escape what I call boba liberalism, right? So it's like the idea that, like, Asian American identity is more than just drinking boba and getting into Harvard, you know what I mean? Like, that's the podcast episode I would recommend.
Read them, drag them, spill that hot tea, hun tea.
So my Bayesians of the week, Plan A magazine.
That's awesome. And I can attest that Plan A is, like, really, really awesome, because I have talked a bunch of times with Oxford, and yeah, they are nothing but, like, great people. As are you.
Thank you.
So again, thank you so much for, you know, having this conversation with me today. Glad we got to grab you before your real life job starts. which also, congratulations on being employed. That's something to be happy about.
I'm kidding. The health insurance. We're here for the health insurance, okay?
Listen, it's an important thing to have in this day and age.
Study public health. Come on.
So in addition to, you know, last thing, in addition to Chasing Color, is there anything else that you want to plug? Would you like to drop your personal handles for people to follow you?
Yes. Okay. So you can follow me after you follow Chasing Color, because that's more important. You can follow me on Instagram at Chopstick Girl. No spaces, no underlines, no numbers, just Chopstick Girl. And then if you want to hear bad jokes, you can follow me on Twitter at No, it's Gary. Yes, I know my name is Jerry, but people sometimes say Gary, so I like that handle. And then if you're in New York, I'm pretty sure, even if I'm not on the show, there's an all-Asian show hosted by my friend Ed Pokropsky on the 7th of September. So it's sometime until then, but 7th of September, Unwashed. I think it's in the Pit Striker. We've had a lot of great guests on the show, so please come out and see people perform, hopefully me.
Yay, amazing. Well, once again, thank you so much, Jerry. And
thanks for having me.
We will talk to you soon. I'm going to press end record, so then we can talk about not boba at all.
Yes. Yep. That's That's it.